This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Bishop Avi Hillier.
Now, we commented on that last week saying that he had waited for 25 years on a promise that had not yet come to pass. And still in the natural, there are no natural signs that it's working. Yet the scripture goes on to say, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he promised he was able also to perform. And so we're teaching the courage to standing strong. Our subject is the courage for standing strong. We said standing strong doesn't mean that I'm just still standing, I'm just surviving. But it means I am steadfast in faith. I have this unwavering confidence in the faith process. It means that I have the courage to perform in faith. It means that I'm unrelenting in my confession. I'm standing strong. Everybody say standing strong. It came on the heels of a faith fight that we were in, and I took the word of God, because this is what you have to do when you're going through a faith fight. You can't rely on, you know, many times on stuff you've already heard. Amen. You got to keep that word. You got to build that word up in your heart, you see. And so now I'm the pastor, you understand? I'm the pastor. I'm the one who's teaching faith. But see, I understand that I've got to stand in faith the same way you stand. So I went back to the scriptures. I got the word of God. I put the time in of going over the word of God by how he'll never cause me to fail. You know, I'm victorious. I put all that. And then, boy, when that thing manifested in my, I was ready then, you understand? And so I woke Bridget up, you know, kind of woke up. I didn't want to wake up, but I kept talking loud so she'd wake up. And then when she woke up, then I was telling her about my breakthrough, you understand? See, breakthrough is that point of revelation, when you know that you know that you know. See, here in Abraham's situation, he really had no natural sign that what God had promised was coming to pass, but yet he was fully persuaded, you understand? So I reached that point where I was fully persuaded, even though nothing in the natural had changed. You follow me? And I started telling Bridget about it, that sort of thing. And she said, Ira, stand strong. Like, ooh, I'm ready to fight now. You understand? So that's what. So standing strong is this position that you have where by faith you know that you know that you know. Amen. And now we said that confident expectation comes because of the laws of the scripture. In other words, when I see what the scripture says, I'm convinced in what the scripture says. It also comes as this confident expectation is based on the law of sowing, that when I sow, the Bible says I connect to this to the promises of God. And then we started last week talking about the law of sacrifice. Everybody say the law of sacrifice. Yeah, there is an expectation. I have strong expectations because of my sacrifices. Now, we could see in one of the lessons that we taught when Hezekiah goes to God on the basis of his past, on the basis of his past sacrifices, the basis of his past faithfulness, and he appeals what the prophet says. The prophet says, get your house in order, you're going to die and not live. Hezekiah turns his face to the wall and reminds God of what he has done in the past. And as a result of that, God, the Bible says, told the prophet, go back and tell Hezekiah he was going to get blessed with 15 more years, and his enemies would be destroyed. So we found out that we have a right to plead our cases with the Lord based on what we've done in the past. Now, Romans chapter 12, I want you to go there now, Romans chapter 12. Abraham's story is so very dynamic because after having received the promise, after the child is born, when the child gets of age, as a young man, then God asks him for the child. That's serious there. No, after Abraham spends all these years believing for the boy and raises the boy, then God says, now I want you to take him. This is in Genesis 22. Take this boy and sacrifice him unto me. And we're going to look into that because there's a very powerful thing about sacrifice, this law of sacrifice that I really want you to get down. I want you to understand. Anything that is really worth having is worth sacrificing for. Everybody say that. Anything that is really worth having is worth sacrificing for. Now, last week we expanded our thinking of sacrifice because the Bible teaches us that we must do this. That it should be a part of the believer's nature to sacrifice, and we must renew our minds. Verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Watch this. So the subject now is sacrifice. Everybody say the subject is sacrifice. All right, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So he says now, I want you, this is Paul writing, under the dictate of the Holy Spirit, I don't want you to be conformed to this world. Don't you think about sacrifice like the world thinks about sacrifice. Because the world sees sacrifice as negative and as a loss. But he says, now for the believer, I want you to renew your mind on sacrifice. Because it is through sacrifice that you can get the will of God to come to pass in your life. Amen. Now, I can't reteach the last lesson. That's why we have the CD of it in the bookstore. Got it? So, but last week, we began to expand our thinking on sacrifice. That every sacrifice does not have to deplete me. Amen. But then we categorize some sacrifices. I want to touch on those because we want to look at sacrifices in a different way. Last week, my wife and I, we made 38 years of marriage. Yeah. Yeah. 38 years. The only way we made 38 years, we had to be willing to... Smart class. No, we had to be willing to sacrifice. Follow me? Our ministry is now celebrating, because, we celebrate for a whole month. Our ministry is celebrating 29 years. Yeah. 29 years. And the only way we'd be here 29 years is that we had to be willing to... Sacrifice. All right. Amen. Now, whatever has been worthwhile in your life required some level of... Sacrifice. Now, so we expand this sacrifice to go beyond, beyond the biblical. When you see many times you see sacrifices in the Old Testament, they're killing a lamb or they're killing a ram or they're offering some animal up. Where the word sacrifice is more dynamic than to offer something up like that. What he's saying to us, he's definitely not telling us to go kill ourselves for us to be living sacrifices. But he is saying that there is something that we must surrender so that we can obtain something that is more superior. Oh, yes. A sacrifice. I'm something I've got to surrender so that I can obtain something that is more superior. So we looked at these four categories. We first talked about, the sacrifice of economics. Economical sacrifice. That is when I give up something that I really wanted to keep. You understand? A sacrifice, economic sacrifice. And of course, we already know that that's part of what we have to do in life. Okay. Most of us would rather not have paid any college tuition. I know I'm going to get an amen on that. But to get the education, you had to, okay, to move on. All right, now, secondly, a second category we dealt with was emotional sacrifice. Everybody say emotional sacrifice. That is, when I choose not to buy into negative emotions. You follow me? So that I can stay on track with a positive relationship. Negative, everybody say negative emotions. Yeah, and so, I could cuss you out because you'd have made me mad, but I know if I cuss you out, I won't be able to tell you about my Jesus. Amen. So I sacrificed the good feeling I'd get by telling you off, you understand? Sacrifice. Everybody say sacrifice. Yeah. All right. Now, then we said sacrifice had to do with not just economic sacrifice, or not just an emotional sacrifice, but then we talked about egotistical sacrifice. Sometimes I got to understand the world doesn't revolve around me. And I can't always get my way. Hallelujah. All right, anybody want to say amen on that, all right? And then, of course, we dealt with the effort sacrifice. Everybody say effort sacrifice. Now, effort sacrifice has to do with, many times it calls for me putting forth a little more effort than I had planned to put forth. All of those are categories of sacrifice that I think are critical for success in life, success in ministry, success in marriage, success, period. You understand? That many times it's going to cost me something. Amen. You want to excel in a career? I mean, you're going to have to many times invest in more information. You got it? If you're going to excel in your career, many times you're going to have to keep your mouth closed. You know, boss makes you angry, but you need your job. Got it? And you just sacrifice. I could tell y'all, Mr. Boss, but I'm not going to do that right now. You understand? And then, of course, when you look at all of these various things, you can see how all of them fit. Now, the good thing about sacrifice that we learn is that sacrifice gets God's attention and it gets God's intervention. Everybody say God's attention and God's intervention. So our working definition for sacrifice was that that my sacrifice is something that I choose. Everybody say, I choose it. I choose to go beyond designated expectations. I go without desired experiences. I go beyond derailing emotions to acquire something better, to acquire and accomplish something better. So in other words, there's a resolve in sacrifice. I'm going to do more. There is a restraint in sacrifice. I'm not going to do that. All right. There is in sacrifice a resourcefulness where I recommit or I commit that which I did not intend to commit. The thing that the believer has to understand is God says we live a life of sacrifice. Critical to faith is sacrifice. Amen. Amen. See, many times for me to make my faith confession, I got to sacrifice how I feel. I don't feel like saying by stripes I'm healed. I feel like I tell everybody I'm hurting. I'm hurting real bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Got it? Got it? The Bible says, in order for my faith to work, got to forgive. Well, I don't want to forgive you. My ego don't want to forgive you. My ego wants you to hurt. But I got to sacrifice my ego and go on and forgive you so I can walk in faith.
Amen.
Amen. So I can see all of this. Many times when it comes to me walking in faith and my finances, I got to give. I don't want to give. I'm cheap. Okay. I see. I wasn't talking about y'all. I was talking about me. Not really. I was cheap. I was real cheap. I'd go to out to eat with other folk. I'd sit back and wait for somebody else to take a check. Hoping they would. Okay, y'all can look at me like that and judge me for a time. I'm just telling you. But then I saw that in order to be blessed, I had to be a giver.
Amen.
Now I got to sacrifice my cheap self.
Amen.
Now I've been delivered, praise the Lord. I'm delivered.
Amen.
I'm delivered. I'm a great giver now. But I had to rise out of that. And it calls for some
sacrifice.
Amen. All right, now, what we want to talk about today, what I want to get into today, I want to get into... go to Philippians chapter 3. I want to get into the promise of the precious sacrifice and the promise of the praise sacrifice. And I sure want to get through with them. Everybody say the precious sacrifice.
Precious.
All right. There's a cowardice response to the call of sacrifice. And if I don't press, it means that I'll fall prey to the cowardice of sacrifice. Paul writes, and when he writes there in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So he says, I'm a presser. I'm doing effort. I'm putting forth effort. And we got to get out of the believer's mind that everything's going to be on a, as they old folks say, flowery bed of ease. No. Convenience is not the test as to whether or not it's God.
Amen,
amen. No, convenience is not the test. When it comes to the kingdom of God, well, the Bible says his yoke is easy. I'm glad you brought that scripture up because let me explain it to you. That scripture has nothing to do with effort. When it says his yoke is easy, the word easy means fit. In other words, it says what God has called you to do fits you. He's saying the yoke fits, not that it's easy in effort, but it fits you. For instance, what I do fits me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, I got a special calling in the body of Christ. I know my calling in the body of Christ. I'm to teach people on faith and prosperity, and that fits me. It fits me because when folk talk about me doing it, it don't bother me. I can go to sleep with folk talking about me. I don't need no therapy. Nothing like that. I don't need no therapist. I need some time to talk about. No, don't even bother me one bit. I know I'm on a divine assignment. I know I'm being a blessing to people. So when folk talk about me and all that kind of stuff, don't bother me one bit because his yoke fits me. I'm fitted. I'm adapted to do this. And I'm having a ball, y'all. No, I'm having a ball. Yeah, I have all kind of faith fights, but it fits me, all right? So whatever God has called you to do ought to fit you. But it's not saying that we will not have to put forth effort. The Bible describes our Christian walk as a warfare. I mean, you will be opposed by the devil. He will attack your body with sickness and disease. He'll attack your mind with worry, but we still win. We fight until we win. Watch this. And it's only when you have mastered this thing called sacrifice that you can fight the good fight. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Only when you got this sacrifice thing under, understanding that, hey, sometimes for me to win, I got to shut my mouth. Sometimes for me to win. Because I feel like going off, but I know going off ain't going to do nothing but throw away my faith. Wow. Amen, amen. So then, if I don't have this resolve and I'm not willing to sacrifice, I'll be prone, watch this, to compromise and disobey clear instructions from God. Remember when God called me into full-time ministry, I mean, he was calling me to sacrifice. Because, man, I was going to work. Oh, Jesus, I think about it. I was going to work. I was making $35,000 plus back then in the, need Bridget here. But it had to be back there in the 70s. Yeah. Yeah. I was making $35,000 plus what the church was paying me. I had a little church, I was a pastor church. Then God called me in a full-time ministry, told me to go in full-time ministry and leave the job. I don't want to do that. I like making the money. Okay. I'm going to go over here. Y'all too cold over here. I ain't feeling no love over here. Yeah. So, but I had clear instructions. And until I was willing to say, okay, God, what you want me to do is what I want to do. I couldn't make that move. That's a serious move. You understand? I'm leaving the comfort and security of corporate America to serve the Lord. And they was paying me $300 a week. I left $35,000. I was making the $35,000 and an unlimited expense account plus the $300. And I walk away from all that for just the $300. Yeah. So all those folks talking, you just serving it for money. You lying. I served him broke a long time. When I'm unwilling to sacrifice, I will probably choose to blame others for my shortcomings in life. Folk who will not pay the price for sacrifice are the first ones to point the finger at others and blame others for their demise. When I refuse to sacrifice, I will normally give up prematurely and give out, leaving trails of unfinished projects to testify against me. When I'm unwilling to sacrifice, I will pass up once in a lifetime opportunities that God has arranged for my success. Amen, amen. Everybody say sacrifice, sacrifice. Now, I want you to get to the point where when it comes to sacrifice, you start rejoicing. Because sacrifice gets God's attention and God's. Well, a few of y'all didn't pass that second part. You get 50 on that test. You got to get this now. Sacrifice, whenever I sacrifice, I'm going to show it to you. It always gets God's attention. He looks and he sees what a person's willing to sacrifice, especially in kingdom matters. But not only his attention, but he steps in. He shows up to help. That's why when in a relationship, and it's going all sour, and I could just go off and I stop. No. I'm going to do that. Now, I got God's attention. Now, God's going to step in that situation and do what I couldn't do. Everybody say God's attention. And God's
intervention.
Oh, that's fine. I got a good class here. I got a good class. That's the key. That's the thing that excites you about a kingdom sacrifice. That when I'm sacrificing in the kingdom, I'm not losing. Sacrifice in the world has this whole, you know, connotation of loss. Not so in the kingdom. That's why he says, hey, listen, get your mind renewed. Get your mind renewed on sacrifice. Because that's how you're going to accomplish the will of God for your life. You're going to have to go beyond what you thought you were going to have to go. Amen. How many married folk I got in the house know that to be true? Yeah, if you still married, you know you had to go beyond your storybook idea of what marriage is going to be. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, sacrificing ain't over. Yes. I mean, because people evolve every seven years or so. Every 7 years, people evolve. They change. And you've got to be willing to change every 7 years or so.
Amen.
Now, you know you change. Go look at your wedding picture. Now, you know you change. You change physically. Go look at your wedding. This week of my anniversary, people start sending wedding pictures of me and Bridget, you understand? And I look at the picture, I said, I'm glad that boy changed. Like, I was like 130 6'1", soaking wet. Wind blow, I had to hold on to something. I'm just joking. You know, and so I prayed for weight. Look what the Lord has done.
Yeah.
You can't tell me he ain't a good God. Does exceedingly. Get back to your lesson, boy. All right, watch this. Okay, now go to Psalms 126. Let's talk about the promises for the precious sacrifice. When God asks you to give something precious, Now, in 2 weeks from now, we're going to do that. We're going to be giving some precious. We're going to, you know, and I tell you, when I look at the 29 years of our church, that's amazing. Now, it'd be different if we'd been all this time. We started giving like this in 95. But if we were giving like this in 95, we were still over in the little building, you know, on Crown Park. Then you know, that would be tragic.
Amen.
I'm saying, if we've been giving, because we've given. Amen. You give yourselves an amen on that, because you've given. We couldn't be at this state without you giving. I don't have no money-making machine in the back. No, the people of God have had to love the vision, love the cause, and give sacrificially for it.
Amen.
Yes, praise the Lord. And then when you look at what God has done, our church is not just known in the community. This church is known around the world.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, known around the world. And then, I mean, it's, when I look at it, you know, church has 1 million square feet of buildings. That's, glory be to God. So I'm saying, if we was given all this time and then, we still over there in the little building there, you know, still over there in the little building. And talking about, we believe in God, y'all. Come on, y'all, we believe in God. Then you could go, oh, know about that, Rev. We've been believing God for a long time. We ain't seen nothing. But everything I've told you, God told me, has come to pass.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I make up myself no reputation. God makes me look so smart, y'all. No, I'm serious. He makes me look so smart. He makes me look so smart. Because all I do is just say what he said, tell me to say. And I don't, when he's telling me to say, I don't know how it's going to come to pass. No, I really don't. I don't know how, you're going to put it all to pass. How you going to bring it to pass? But he does it. And I'm telling you, God told me, He says, prepare the people for a season of supernatural manifestations like they've never seen.
Yeah.
Now, to do that, you got to get in faith. You got that when he said prepare, that's when I got to get faith. When all those thousands of pastors come, I got to give them in faith because God says he's ready to do something like he's not done before in the past. Well, I get all excited because I only know in part. He just gives me a part, and I got to say the part I know. Once I say the part I know, then he gives me another part. That's how God operates. You understand? But you can leave, start expecting something great and grand to happen. You see, it takes faith to believe something great and grand to happen, especially when you can't see how in the world. But you don't have to know how. You don't have to know how. Are you listening to me? Man, when we first start talking about, and I'm getting off my lesson. When we first start talking about the building the subdivision and that sort of thing, you know, it was in my heart to do it. So I took the step. I declared and announced it. I never knew we'd get in a partnership with a builder who would come in and they'd do all the heavy lifting. Because when they talk about building that kind of stuff, you cannot do that independent of the laws of the land. You have to, you know, in other words, we couldn't build a subdivision just for our church only. You can't do that. You get locked up. Yeah, you get locked up for discrimination. And they lock you up quick, you understand? So it has to be done by the laws of the land. And then God just arranged the partnership. And I sat there at the table and I just kind of laughed. I told him, I said, it's amazing. I said, I'm going to be able to see my dream and y'all going to pay for it. Amen, amen. But I couldn't have told you how that would work out. All I can do is say, okay, here the principle. I know I got to declare it. And if I make a declaration and we believe and we work, we'll watch God's hand work it out. That's the same way it has to be in your life. There has to be, I'm preaching totally different from what I got prepared. There has to be a boldness to believe it and then to declare it. You have to declare it even in the face of folk who will laugh at you. Because if you stand strong, got me a rhyme. If you stand strong, they won't be laughing long. Yes, indeed. Okay, let's get back to the lesson. Everybody say, if you stand strong, they won't be laughing long. Amen, amen. All right, now watch this. All right, verse 6. Psalm 126, verse 6. He that goeth forth bearing precious seed, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Talks about a guarantee. Says, he that go forth bearing precious seed, weeping, bearing precious seed, sowing his precious seed, shall doubtless, so that's this kind of guarantee. As I was saying, whenever sacrifice is made, gets God's attention, God's intervention. All right? Something happens when sacrifice is made. Everybody says something happens. Something supernatural happens when kingdom sacrifices are made. All right, watch this. So we have the scripture saying here on the precious. So when a precious seed then would be something that I can see in the scripture. A precious seed is not really described by a certain amount because I think that it is more individual sensitive than it is amount sensitive. All right. For instance, I'm giving $100,000. That's precious for me. Now, if it ain't precious to you, then match me. No, that's precious to me. But I'm working on something real big. I can't tell you, but I'm working on something. It's like a dream I've been had for 30 years. And so close. So close. Now, I only tell you this. So, because I believe it's done, that when it happens, you'll be able to say, well, he told us. He said something about it, see. But I'm sowing the precious. You follow me? I'm sowing the precious. Now, to somebody else, the precious may be, like I said, I asked members to do 1,000. And 1,000 is precious to a whole lot of folk in. Okay, if it's not, then let's do 2,000. No, 1,000 is precious. Amen. But to some, you know, may not be able to do that. Precious to you may be 300. But what I want you to do is understand your precious gets God's attention. Your precious sacrifice, no matter what it is, gets God's attention. I haven't always been able to give $100,000. It came over a process of time and a process of years. But I stuck with the principle. I stuck with the faith process. See, I've been walking in faith more probably longer than most of y'all in here. Lady Bridget and I, we took, oh my, it had to be at least about 3 or 5 years before we ever start teaching it to anybody. We studied it secretly. Because we had to be sure this thing would work. Amen. Before we ever declared it to the church, before we ever start teaching it in church, we were studying it privately. All right? So it's over a process of time. So you don't get intimidated by where you're starting. You just make sure your seed is precious to you. Here's a precious seed is something I want for myself. Like the widow of Zarephath, she wanted that cake for herself. A precious seed is something others may despise me giving.
All right.
You're going to give that church what? Ain't that the helicopter preacher? Oh, my God. I love my members because y'all have to endure foolishness like that from folk. I love y'all. I love y'all. I do. I love y'all because y'all have to endure some foolishness from small-minded people. Amen. All right for a church to have a van. All we're talking about is transportation. It's all right for them to have a van. They can even have two vans. They can even have a big stretch bus. But a helicopter. Watch this. And we've been had a helicopter since 1995. Everybody say, that's old news. A precious seed is something that makes a demand on my faith. In other words, when I give a precious seed, it makes a demand on my faith. A precious seed is something that may be rare in its existence. A precious seed always produces a recognizable harvest. That's a good thing. God says, I'll doubtless come again. God says, you'll doubtless come again. So then, we have to understand, in order to give the precious, you must be resourceful. Not only have the revelation, but resourceful. Everybody say resourcefulness. Now, see, Gideon didn't have an offering. An angel came to Gideon. Gideon understood he didn't need an offering. He didn't have one. He said, listen, you just wait right here. I got to go put some stuff together, and I'll be right back. So he had to go and prepare. Everybody said, go prepare. Resourcefulness causes you not to make an excuse, but to think how you can make it possible. Everybody say, not make an excuse, but how to make it possible. See, when I understand the value of the precious, when anybody in the Bible gave something precious, the widow gave the precious cake, her meal barrel saw it overflowing. I mean, the lad gave his precious lunch, fed 5,000, 12 baskets full left over. You follow me? Every time the precious is given, the Bible says Abraham, he gives this his son. The son he had believed for, God says, I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. So he's getting ready to take this boy up on the mountain to actually sacrifice him. Everybody say, but sacrifice gets God's attention and God's intervention. All right, so God intervened so he didn't have to kill the boy, but Abraham was willing to give him up. Everybody say, willing to give him up. All right, now, so the point I can make over and over again is whenever something precious was given, it got God's attention. That precious sacrifice gets God's attention. I don't want you to take what happens on Standing Strong Sunday lightly. You know, I was getting ready to move on to something else, and the Spirit of God checked me and said, no, you got new people there. They need to hear and understand. Their faith has got to be built for this. That it's not just about raising money. It's not. It's about you positioning yourself for God's attention and God's intervention in your situation. All right, and watch this. There are those of you who've already been sacrificing. Now you have the right to go to God like Hezekiah. God, you've seen my sacrifice. Are y'all listening to me? See, I can't go to God on the basis of sacrifice if I've never done it. But those of you who have done it and who are standing strong, continue to do it, you've got a right now to go to God and press your claim. You can have a kind of religious experience where you just go to church and celebrate your salvation that you're not going to hell. No, you can. I'm called to those who want more than just not going to hell. I'm called to teach those how to have an abundant life right here and now. I ain't got no problem with everybody else who just want to celebrate reconciliation and celebrate grace and celebrate. I'm called to teach you how to get a manifestation in your life right now. How to overcome your situation right now. Y'all know I ain't gonna finish this. So I got to wait till Sunday to finish this. Hannah gives a sacrifice. Now, Hannah's sacrifice, she vowed. God, you give me a baby, I'll give him back to you. But you know how folk do, they be vowing. And then when that thing happens, they renege. Come on. I've got to remember, they renege like, I mean, God, you know, you understand. Come on now. Hannah took this baby that she had been believing for, that she had been mocked because she was barren. And she takes this baby and gives him to the prophet like she promised, so he could be raised as a prophet. But what happened was, it broke the barrenness over her. And she had baby after baby after baby after baby after baby, because, watch this, sacrifice gets God's
attention
and God's
attention.
Amen. So we never let sacrifice bother us. My God, I know. I mean, we don't ever let sacrifice bother me. Do I sacrifice? Oh, my God. For the kingdom of God, I've done a whole lot of sacrifice. But I've always got God's
attention
and God's
attention.
So let's close with Abraham going up on the mountain. First of all, Abraham, understand, God has a right. Everybody say, God has a right. He has a right to the precious. Everybody say, God has a right to the precious. In other words, whatever God asks you for, he got a right to it because he gave it to you. All right. Secondly, Abraham responds to God's request with promptness. In other words, he doesn't delay when God tells him, I want that boy. The precious boy, yeah, the one you've been believing for, that you got, that you raised, that's a young man right now. I want it. Abraham doesn't say, well, no, let's talk about this. You know, took me 25 years, Lord. Come on now. Promptness. Everybody say promptness. And I found that it is so wonderful when God can see prompt obedience.
Amen.
Delayed obedience is disobedience. Now, Abraham, he has a revelation. I'm closing now. He has a revelation on God's readiness to provide. Because he takes the boy and they go on, they got the wood and the fire and the service. They're going up the mountain. He can't even kill the boy. And so the boy said, Daddy, we've been up this mountain before. And we always be carrying, you know, a sacrifice, a lamb, a ram, something like that. And Daddy, I see the wood. He's putting this stuff together in his head. And I see the fire. Where is the lamb? Where's the offering? Now, here's what Abraham says. The Lord will provide. I'm going somewhere with this. He takes the servants and he says, y'all stay here. Watch this. Me and the boy, we going yonder to worship and we're coming back. His confession was, I'm coming back. No matter what happens on this mountain, I got to believe God that even if I cut your throat and burn you to ashes, God's going to raise you up from the ashes. Something supernatural happens. Abraham has the boy tied to the... You know, that boy could have fought Abraham.
He's younger than Abraham. Are you real old now? He was 100 back there when the boy got born. The boy's a young man now, so he's 100 plus. This young kid could have took him out. But this young kid has so much confidence in his daddy, he led him time to the altar. Raised the knife. Sacrifice always gets God's attention and God's intervention. And God said, Abraham, don't do the boy any harm. There's a ram caught in the bushes. Now why? Oh my God, I got to close. Why would God take Abraham through all of this? It's because God had something better. Everybody say something better. Something better was at stake. Something else was on the line. God had to have a covenant partner in the earth who was willing to give up his son so that God would have the right to give up his son. You need to know your sacrifice has much greater meaning than what you ever could imagine. Sacrifice always gets God's. And God's. If I want God to show up, I've got to be willing to give the Lord a shout. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Nobody's walking. Nobody's moving. We already made the appeal. Some of you may have come in later, but it's time for a great harvest.